The following is an exclusive presentation of Team 600 ESPN El Paso.
Coming up next, we got Minor Talk with Adrian, Sal, and Zay on 600. Live Minor Talk is here, presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. We got Zay Galindo in the house. Chris from Inspo Lens. We're live. Inspo Lens, YouTube, Twitter, and X, and everywhere here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's jump right into it. Miners get the win today on the road against Sam Houston, 35-17. I thought they would have done it despite losing three at home. I thought they could beat this winless Sam Houston team, who just looks horrible. I mean, this game was par for the course in terms of Conference USA weeknight matchups, and I think that's where we started off here on the show. A muff punt, almost a scoop and score today for UTEP by Echo Taylor, four turnovers on downs by just the Bearcats alone, five in total throughout the game. UTEP throws in an interception in this one. It was just, you know, sloppy play all over, but Miners get it done, 35-17. They look good in the process, right? Things are good. This was a good win for the Miners. A couple things obviously stood out. Skylar Locklear being the main quarterback the entire game, right? No rotation, no kind of flip-flop in between different quarterbacks or anything like that. None of that. It was one guy, and it felt like his team. This was the first time I could say that from start to finish, this was Skylar Locklear's team. In fact, at one point, the CBS camera panned it real close to Skylar Locklear, and you could see Malachi Nelson kind of hanging in the background a little bit. This is Skylar's team, no doubt about it. And Walden, at the end of the game, talked about the leadership that Skylar provided all week long leading into this matchup. They get touchdowns from the likes of Ashton Emery, who's still playing with a broken hand, mind you. The offense finally gets and generates some more points than they've had in weeks, and that's huge for this squad right here. And then on defense, I mean, defense just showed up. I mean, it was a Hunter Watson game where in the first half it looked like he was going to go toe-to-toe with Skylar Locklear. It was going to be like, who's the better quarterback? Who's the better playmaker? And then Hunter Watson goes out at the end of the first half, and I felt like that was it. I mean, like, anybody could go out here and say, well, you know, the Miners gutted this one out. This is still an 0-7 team they beat, or 0-6 at the time, team they beat without Hunter Watson, because if they had Hunter Watson playing the entire game, we're obviously talking about totally different things. Still, it's a win for the Miners. Still, you'll take it any day of the week. Obviously, you'll take it here on a Wednesday, and that's where we start today's show, Sal. Miners get a win. They desperately needed to get off this losing streak that they were on. Four in a row, they came into this one losing, but on the flip side with Sam Houston, they've lost six in a row going into this one, and the worst team lost and the better team won.
It was the I was making this joke all week. It was the battle of booty. It was the left cheek versus the right cheek, and left cheek won, I guess, you know, going into this one. Just I had a little bit more moxie, but man, UTEP on national television yet again this week, and they didn't disappoint, man. UTEP all over the timeline, all over college football, so some fun stuff. But I mean, this was Conference USA football at its finest. I mean, this is the rivalry within the rivalry, if you want to put it that way.
This is why you play weeknight matchups, right? Just the craziness, the silliness that happens. From one end, it's literally a blocked field goal. The other side, it's a guy returning a fumble all the way back, almost for a touchdown. Just pandemonium, really, throughout the night out in Houston. Jack in the Boxes, who were brought to you by, they're thinking way outside the box and open 24/7 because cravings don't have a curfew. I'm wearing my awesome Boomy Dental t-shirt. We actually gave some of these out last week. So if you're still looking to get one of these El Paso Roots t-shirts, thanks to our great partners over at Boomy Dental, make sure to follow our social media page at 600 ESPN El Paso. And then, of course, make sure to check them out. If you're looking for a new dentist, you're looking to change your dentist, you're looking for a new dentist to maybe stand out here in El Paso, check out Boomy Dental. It's BUMI, boomydental.com to learn more. Also, we're brought to you in part by Thomas Adams Apparel. You can't see it right now. I'm wearing the Blue Blaze hat right here if you're looking for more hats. If you got a team, if you got a company, if you're looking for some new apparel, check out Thomas Adams Apparel. Check them out on Instagram. They do polos. They do our hats. They do everything for us here as far as apparel goes. So big shout out to Thomas Adams Apparel. And then also a big shout out to our other supporting sponsors like New Start Homes, Classic Elegance Coaches, 915 Tours, and more. The District Pub and Kitchen West as well here on Minor Talk as we get things started. Zay Galindo is in the building. He got a chance to watch this one from its entirety. The Miners get the 35-17 victory. Zay, I think we'll start this one with you. At least let's open up this can of worms. This is the last possible matchup we'll see between the Miners and the Bearcats. How will you remember this right here? Is this, I don't want to say it was a rivalry, but a conference matchup is now coming to an end. There's not going to be any more UTEP versus Sam Houston games for a while. I mean, you're going to have to maybe think of a bowl game or a non-conference football game in 2032 before we start talking about these two teams on their schedules.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the correct word I think I like to use for these is it was a conference rivalry. You know, I think that it didn't have enough time to blossom into a real rivalry, as a lot of these conference rivalries UTEP has had. You know, that's how it goes with conference realignment. But yeah, I mean, this one, I think it was the funnest to be a part of, just because the Burnerverse, you know, the Twitter Burnerverse, like those two fan bases, at least the Burners on Twitter, like they go at it. You know, there are some crazy tweets. Like right now, if you go on Twitter right now and you follow maybe some of these guys, whoo, you'll see what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, it's been a fun one. I think it's always great to have, you know, an in-state rival in your conference, and especially when it's competitive. You know, Sam Houston State beat UTEP last year. UTEP beats them the year before. You know, in basketball, it's usually a fun game. So all in all, I think this was a nice way to send UTEP off.
Yeah, exactly, with the big win right there. Our telephone number to get our show started, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Sal, I'll ask you the simple question. Is this Skylar Locklear's team?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and simple answer. I would say yes. Yeah, I'd say yes as well. As of right now, is this the end of the Malachi Nelson chapter in UTEP football history? I don't really know if I would go there just yet. I would say that for Malachi Nelson and for everything that we've seen this year, it's been up and down. It was maybe, you know, the product of them having some really bad injury luck during his starting period. It was also the fact that he's never played college snaps, and he's really trying to learn on the job and learn with this squad. So you're asking a lot from Malachi, while also, you know, a lot of people have said this as well. They gave a lot to Malachi, right? Like, there was NIL benefits of coming into the transfer portal as somebody who was previously a top a top five quarterback coming out of high school in the class of 2023. Like, there are perks that he received for a lot of this, but a lot of pressure came on him to do a lot more. And I think tonight just showed it more than anything, right? Like, it shouldn't even be a debate anymore. Skylar Locklear, for the offense that UTEP runs, Zay, it makes so much sense. It doesn't even, like, third and one RPO, it works so well. There's three different reads that Skylar can truly do, and one of them being he can run the ball himself, and that's what he did on a third and short play, which then a couple plays later led to himself running in for a rushing touchdown. So that's what you see from somebody like Skylar Locklear, and that's what he brings to the table.
Yeah, and I think we saw down the stretch some of these games where, you know, Skylar comes in after the offense has been terrible, right? And then Louisiana Tech game, and then the game that he started, he gets that touchdown against Liberty. So, you know, there was moments where we see why that play calling would work and why the scheme works better with Skylar. And I think it was just kind of, it was showed all today, you know, that Skylar just works better in Scotty Walden's scheme. And it's unfortunate for Malachi Nelson because, yeah, you know, we did see some throws from him that, at least when he started, when he played, that, you know, kind of made you believe, okay, maybe this can work out. But I think it was kind of evident, right? The way that the offense was just struggling to move, the interception issues, all that, that eventually Skyler Locklear would take over this position, and I think he kind of cemented himself as the starter from here on today.
Yeah, I would say even, you know, what happens if something happens to Skyler, right? That's a very valid question. I don't know. I think that's a great question right there in itself, because do you want to just hand the keys right back to Malachi and say that, you know, you're good with him? Or do you want to go with Shea Smith or Cade McConnell, a different quarterback right there? Shea Smith did play today, Sal. He was that gadget type player. On third down, he hands the ball off. Fourth down, they're going for it inside their own 40-yard line or whatever. And it was a turnover on downs. I hated the play call. Absolutely hated it.
The thing for me is when it comes to bringing in Shea Smith, right? We know what that entails. He's going to go in there, and one of two things is going to happen. He might throw it. That's a very rare thing. Or he's going to have the ball, and he's going to try and use his body to get that first down. But we get confused when I see him come in, but you already have Skyler Locklear out there when he's not hurt. When Skyler can go out there and use his legs to go out and get a first down. I understand it with Malachi more because different types of bodies and different types of players. But Skyler, man, like, he'll run through a brick wall if he has to get a first down. And I just don't understand that switch up for it. Maybe to get some air, but it's hard for me to understand that. But as far as, like, any type of who's going to be quarterback or whatnot, the fact of the matter is there's games remaining here that UTEP cannot afford to slip up, and you got to go with somebody who's giving you the best chance at winning games. And Skyler went out there and won the game today. I'm not saying it guarantees wins in the future, but you got to ride the hot hand, especially when that window, it's so close to being shut on the season.
Yeah, and I'll say it again. I mean, it was a full first game where Skyler Locklear was given the keys with no curfew, right? Like, he was given the keys. He's not looking over his shoulder after throwing that interception, not really looking over his shoulder after this team went 3-and-out for the first couple series. Like, isn't concerned. This is his starting job here for today. They didn't deviate from that. And I think it speaks to Skyler as to how the team played around him when they were having success too. I mean, Kenny Odom scoring the touchdown that he did, Ashton Emery breaking away and doing what he did on the ground. Like, I think it takes a leader or somebody to inject some life into your offense for everybody around you to play more inspired. Ashton Emery finished the day 15 carries, 96 rushing yards, and a touchdown. I mean, this guy's doing it while having a broken wrist, say. That's pretty impressive.
It is, and I was so happy to see UTEP finally be able to run the ball efficiently. It was a sight for sore eyes. It felt like so long since UTEP looked this good in the run game, and that's due to, you know, a lot in Ashton Emery. He was running with a purpose today. He was getting downhill, and, you know, he's a scary guy to tackle. I mean, he doesn't jump off at you if you're looking at his height and his weight on paper. But when you see this guy run on in real life or on a TV screen, you see how big he kind of gets, and he can run you over. He can run past you at times. He has good speed. And overall, it was nice to see him kind of, you know, break loose after he was missed basically last game with the injury. He only had one carry. And then before that, UTEP really wasn't able to get him involved with the running struggles. So in all, it's good to see that UTEP maybe has some continuity at the running back position finally. You know, they feel like they've been flip-flopping with Hassan Wilson, Ashton Emery, Elijah McCoy, you know, Marquez Taylor. There were so many different guys that were trying to make it work. It seems like Ashton Emery found the recipe tonight.
Yeah, I would also say, like, what did Hassan Wilson do that was wrong that kept him away from being on the field as well? Like, I still don't understand that. One of the more talented players, they don't like to use him as this, like, 1-2 punch. Instead, let's ride the hot hand is UTEP's motto. And they rode Ashton Emery today. And again, despite him having a broken wrist, he's doing this with a big cast on his right hand. And still catching footballs, by the way. So he's getting used to that cast on his side. Lukumoto Minor, Lutep Minor, texts into the program and says, I agree it's Locklear's team. Maybe we should have known when Nelson was announced the starter and the line against Utah State was changed dramatically. Vegas knew. There you go. That's one way to look at it for sure. There's a lot of other comments that came in here on the program. Feel like today could be light for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's Wednesday. Number two, we're starting our minor talk show much later than this game actually ended. So I'm feeling the light kind of call volume right here. And the other side to it is minor fans not necessarily buying in after UTEP beating a winless team like Sam Houston. I get all those things right there. I'll be the first to say that I expected UTEP to win this one. They rose up to the occasion, and for that, I'll commend them. I'm going to give them that. Like, this is not one that you should, you know, ride off by any means. And the Miners won by multiple scores, too. I mean, 35-17. It wasn't like, you know, at one point this was a close game. By the end, it was a blowout. The Miners had it in the bag on their side of things. Duke Keith checked in. He stopped by here, our River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. He was stopping by today. He said, "What am I watching? UTEP versus Sam Houston is absolutely drunk." Sal, it was beyond drunk. It was wasted at the bar, and you had to call the Uber for the person. The person couldn't even get in the Uber. The game couldn't even get in the Uber, and as a result, the game made a mess inside their Uber, and now Uber's contacting this game and asking for like $500 in additional costs and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like compensation forms being submitted and refunds being requested right now. This game was crazy, man. It's so funny. I think the best way I could describe it, and maybe Zay can attest to this too, but like, if you ever play college football online, but the lag is just so heavy, so you're moving the sticks and stuff, and the timing is just off, and they're going the opposite way, and you're just pressing buttons trying to control a player, but it's getting to the wrong one, so you press dive because you think it's one player, but it's not. Next thing you know, there's like a touchdown that's about to happen, but then the player starts celebrating and then fumbles at the 1 yard line, and it goes, you know, out of bounds for a touchback. Like, that's exactly what this game was like all 60 minutes.
You know what this game felt like, guys? I've been thinking about this like all day, because this game really was drunk. It was a drunk game. But I think the perfect like analogy comparison for this game is, this game was just UTEP versus Sam Houston on a Wednesday night. Like, that's the perfect comparison, the game itself, you know, because whenever I see another crazy college football game, maybe it's Maction down the road, maybe it's a college basketball game down the road, anything, any game, any sports event that seems wild and unlike the weirdest thing is going to happen, I'm just going to compare it to this one. This is the epitome of a drunk game.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It was hilarious to watch how it all unfolded. And by the way, the crowd side of things, you know, no one showed up to this one right here. Like, absolutely no one was there from Sam Houston. There were UTEP fans in the crowd as well. And then Augustine chimes in and says, you know, John Teicher, this is what he says exactly. John Teicher calling out another school support for the football team is really embarrassing. Fix UTEP's attendance and then critique other schools. Hashtag minor talk. I'm going to say this, Augustine. Yes, we can critique this for multiple reasons. Number one, they're renovating their stadium back in Huntsville, Texas. So it's understandable why, you know, not a lot of fans just wanted to hop in their car, make the 45-minute trek to watch this matchup in Houston itself, away from Huntsville, Texas. So that's number one. Number two, this is a winless Sam Houston team. So even if it was a true home game, how many fans would actually show up? And then over all of this is a Wednesday game. This is the dance that you play with, the dance that you the kind of dance you tango with. Having games on a weeknight like a Wednesday, I don't care if, you know, people have some time off because of intercession here in El Paso. Just is what it is, right? It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday type matchup. No one's going to be there. So even for no one actually being there, though, Zay, it was a pitiful crowd here tonight.
I think, not even I think, I know that, like, anytime, okay, let's just say the Del Valle Franklin game a couple weeks, I think there was more people at that game than this.
Oh, college. Yeah.
Like, I think.
I agree.
Like, I can think of, like, maybe 10 Texas high school football games that I've been to in the last maybe 2 years that had more people. Like, this was embarrassing. And I understand it. Like, you gave the good points out to Wednesday game. It's technically a neutral site game. And it's a battle of teams that have combined for, I mean, coming into this one game. And we're 6 weeks into the season. So I understand why. And then it's a 6 p.m. kickoff. People are still at work on a Wednesday at 6 p.m. A lot of people are still at work. So it's just, like you said, this is the result of weekday Conference USA action. I mean, this is what you're going to kind of have to give up to get that primetime TV slot.
9-1-5 Sun City Caper chimes in saying, was Malachi Nelson suited up and at the game? Oh, yeah, he was at the game, and he was suited up all right. Yep, number 7 was available. They went with Skylar Locklear the entire game and didn't even think about playing number 7, Malachi Nelson. They played number 8, Shea Smith, change of pace quarterback, but didn't go with number 7, Malachi Nelson. Let's go to the phones, 915-505-6009, Minor Talk, just getting started here on the show. Feel like tonight will be a light night here on the program. Understand that completely. Take a little week off here as UTEP heads into the bye week, and then back for a Tuesday game, and then a Saturday-filled November. And also, by the way, November, when Minor Talk on the basketball side of things starts off. So that'll be really exciting as well to talk some men's basketball and talk some UTEP hoops here in just a little bit. Let's go to the phones right now. It's Milkman who's joining us to kick off the show. Usually he's joining us at like the peak of our show or like the pinnacle of our show. But maybe a more, I don't even know how to describe you tonight, Milkman. More of a understanding Milkman tonight. More of a excited, or cautiously optimistic. Where are you at tonight, Milkman?
Well, I don't know if I'd make the jump to cautiously optimistic, and perhaps that covers it. But I did have to call in to give credit where credit's due, because Coach saw that something wasn't working, and he changed it up, and it did work tonight. So credit where it's due, you know. And as you guys are saying, I mean, the team just. They all played better. Like they just, it seems like he has a better, you know, a better harmony with them. Skylar Locklear does, you know, it just seems like they work better as a team. I mean, you know, when they're able to run and pass and I mean, and God, Skylar's scrambling like he did. That was great. But yeah, I mean, like I said, got to give credit where credit's due. Coach changed up some stuff. So I'm hoping, you know, that, they can do something the rest of the season, you know, because the first half was just miserable. So I hope we don't relive those days the rest of this season.
What's something for you? What is something to you? Getting 5 wins? What's something?
Well, so obviously getting more than 3 is an improvement. Right. You know, at this point with them only winning 2 games, to talk of them, you know, winning 4 more, would be, you know, probably out of the realm of possibilities. But again, it is still possible, you know, that they could, you know, get 6 wins and be bowl eligible. But, you know, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. But if they improve on 3 wins, I mean, you know, that's an improvement. I mean, it's not coming as fast as we thought it would. And I think a lot of us were hoping that it would. But you know, I'm hoping that they can definitely do better than last year. If they hit 5 and possibly 6, then I would definitely consider that a success.
Okay, let me ask you this, Milkman. I'm going to ask this to Sal because it's kind of popped in my head as well, or just right now. If that was the last that we saw from Malachi Nelson last week against La Tech, how will you remember this Malachi Nelson era for UTEP football?
We or him?
Are you asking me or?
Let's go Milkman first, and then we'll leave him, and then we'll discuss Sal.
Well, I do feel that, you know, he showed certain sparks, you know, there were certain glimmers that, that there is something there, you know, that there's a reason that he was rated high, but for whatever reason, I don't know, like I told you last time, I couldn't really put my finger on it. I don't know if it was nerves. I don't know if it's just not, you know, gelling with the team. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but for whatever reason, it kept us from seeing many of those sparks. So, if it is the last time, I mean, I hope it's not. I hope he can get better, you know, and you know, work on his game and stuff like that. I think he definitely has something there. But I think it's, you know, I mean, he's young and he's working on it, you know, which is good. But I will say that I think, I guess it's a long way to say sorry that it didn't work out, but it certainly had potential.
So, were you happy that it happened?
You know, I am. I'm happy that it happened because it showed us that other schools that have a lot more money, they also wanted him. And we have a coach who can actually, you know, he can recruit well. And Malachi Nelson even said when they were interviewing him before the season started that, you know, there were other teams offering him more money, but he just wanted to stay here. So, I mean, that gives us a good barometer for, you know, how good a recruiter Coach Walden is. And, I mean, the proof's in the pudding with the recruiting classes, how they were. I guess that hasn't exactly translated to wins, but, you know, we'll see what the future holds, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate it, Milkman. Thank you for your phone call. Thanks for weighing in on some of those hard-hitting questions as we continue. 915-505-6009. I thought that was a pretty good way of answering it, though, Sal. I thought, you know, you're happy that it happened, or at least Milkman was suggesting that, you know, as a UTEP fan, you could be happy that it happened, knowing that UTEP had this opportunity to get a guy like this when, you know, you think about other programs or anything like that. It's just hard to get players, period. But you had one of the guys who was at the top of the position. My issue was, or my what if in this scenario is, what if he never started a game for UTEP? Or what if it was Skylar's team all year long? Would they have more wins under their belt? I think the answer is ultimately no, but it's still a good what if right now.
If they have more wins, how many more is it from where they finished?
Like, exactly.
Is it
like
even
one,
enough? Does
two?
It move the needle enough? You know, so all in all, like, I'm glad they tried it. You don't bring in a five-star player anywhere without giving them the field if you're a G6 school. I think that's all said and done. Everybody knows a lot of schools were reaching out to him, trying to get them there. Granted, we understand what happened to USC and at Boise State, but he was still, a target for a lot of recruiters out there. So you got to go down swinging in that regard. And also, too, a lot of injuries have happened throughout this team. So before we go further, though, Adrian, I do want to say let's pause 10 seconds for station identification right here on Minor Talk.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
We'll read some comments. We'll take our first and only time out of the program and get some more phone calls. 915-505-6009. Minor Talk continues here. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Our app is where Jesus checks in, at Jesus Picks. Jesus here, chiming in with you guys late at night. Defense looked very sloppy. Locklear came through for the city. Definitely credit due. Still a lot of improvements to do. I agree with that. I mean, look, this was a win that you can, I guess, count as a win to get you off the losing streak. And there was a point where I was like, uh-oh, you know, is UTEP actually in jeopardy of losing this game? They were up 20-17, and that was it. Was at that point where I was or 21-17. It was at that point I was thinking, man, could Sam Houston rally back? Is this something that the Miners are going to fumble here in this situation right here? Think about this one. The Miners drive all the way inside Sam Houston territory. They get a field goal blocked on their side. Then Sam Houston gets it on their end. They kick. They don't do anything. They punt it away to UTEP. UTEP can't field the punt. It's Eric Willis III who drops it. Sam Houston jumps on it. The very next play after that one right there, you know, Sam Houston unable to capitalize on anything on that drive right there. And then, you know, it's just back and forth sloppiness all over. How about the one time where UTEP does the fumble by Echo Taylor, the scoop and almost score? If it was Jadrian Taylor, it would have been a scoop and score, no doubt about it. But it was instead Echo Taylor. And so Echo Taylor was not able to take it for a touchdown. Miners stall, or at that point, they stalled into the red zone. And then Skylar Locklear through his interception on the next play. So, I mean, it was just sloppy play all around, man. I mean, this game was just ugly when you talk about it from start to finish, Sal.
Yeah, and the nerves. Like, let's just say this: both teams had winning records. This would have been a crazy game. Like, oh, this is game of the week. Both teams want it bad, fighting through all of the adversity. But in this one, it's like, hey, both of these teams are very mistake prone, and it's going to happen often. Who can make the least amount of mistakes, or who can make the smallest mistakes and not basically doing themselves? But man, it was kind of like, who wants to win this game as you were watching it? But in the final 6-7 minutes or so, no pun intended, in the final 7 minutes or so, they, UTEP was, it looked like their physicality kind of just wore Sam Houston off a bit, and that's where they were able to be more powerful with their run game and, make bigger tackles, get more sacks, and get more stops. So, yeah, man, that's really what it was. UTEP just wearing out a team that's at the bottom of Conference USA, but we also got to be real, too. UTEP is like a step or two, ahead of Sam Houston, while they're still, miles behind some of the top-tier teams in Conference USA.
Let's go back to the phones right now, 915-505-6009. George is next up with us this evening. George, good evening. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, my man? What's up?
What up, George? How you doing tonight? What'd you think of this game?
I'm actually pretty happy. We just got back from Vegas, it was a pretty good win for us. Analyzing everything, I get what you guys are saying. This should have been Skyler's team all along, but it's good to give the Malachi the chance that they gave him. The only thing is that this team is not built, I think, for the attributes that Malachi has. He's a great quarterback. He has a lot of good vision downfield, but I don't take anything away from Skyler. Skyler's amazing. When he gets in his element and he's playing good ball, he has good vision. He was throwing pretty decent passes, and his scrambling ability is something that I don't think Malachi really is a strong suit. I think had he gotten more chance to develop, it would have been different. But, regardless of who they start, you got to stick with whoever's going to get you the victory,
Hot hand. Ride the hot hand and reward the hot hand, too.
Right. And then the thing is that the defense played exceptional, like they have all season. This is what I mean when you play complementary football, where the offense is reciprocating what the defense is giving you. You're going to always come up on the high point of the game. You're going to end up with a victory. I think Kennesaw State is pretty much a winnable game. I mean, you're going to be in a pretty bad environment, but hey, you can do it. I think there's winnable games. I haven't completely gotten away from UTEP. I still think they have a few more victories that they can put under the belt, but they're really going to take a team effort to do this.
Yeah, I'm with you completely, George. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009 as we continue. It is Skyler's team, and it's kind of the turning of the page and maybe even picking up from the chapter that closed and that was shut from last year when Skyler was playing great to close out the year last year. And I think, when I say great, I want to say great for UTEP standards, right? Like, he was playing solid football. He was helping them win some of those games down the stretch, and those games at that time were pivotal for the Miners, beating FIU and beating New Mexico State in two of the last three games. That's what Skyler brought to them last year to close out the season. And, to touch on what George was saying, the offense just operates better when Skyler's under center because it's an offense that can kind of cater to his strengths or it really exemplifies a lot of the strengths that he has out on the field. So good stuff there, George. Appreciate the phone call as we continue. 915-505-6009. We'll do this. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, more of Miner Talk as we continue. Presented by Jack in the Box. We're streaming live right now on Inspo Lens. Check us out, YouTube or Twitter next. That's where we're at. Along with Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're probably going to wrap it up next here with some final thoughts and winding things down. So if you want to weigh in, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. A little bit of a shorter weeknight Miner Talk edition, but understandably shorter, knowing that it was a long night. I mean, this one kicked off at 5. This one is a funny Wednesday night kind of matchup. But we'll talk more about UTEP storylines, what to look forward to here in the future, and the bye week, and what the Miners will kind of look forward to in their next matchup against Kennesaw State. As we continue Miner Talk here, presented by Jack in the Box, we'll be back after this on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Minor Talk continues, presented by Jack in the Box. Live on Inspo Lens on YouTube, Twitter, and X. Appreciate the phone calls we've been getting here on the program. We'll get to some more here in just a little bit. We're presented by Jack in the Box here. Open 365, 24-7, because cravings don't have a curfew. Let's go back to the phones right now. Welcome back onto the program. For the first time in a while, it is Pinky who's going to be joining us, who's going to join us after Alan. Let's get Alan first, and then we'll go to Pinky. Alan, good evening, man. What's going on?
Oh, not much. UTEP beat a bad team, a really bad team. Okay? They're horrible. So when they play Kennesaw, if they can stay within two touchdowns of Kennesaw State, then they'll get UTEP will have my attention. But Kennesaw State's tough. UTEP, every time they've gone back east and played a team from the south, they've got rolled. But if they can stay within two touchdowns of Kennesaw State, they might have a chance to win another maybe two or three more games. So that's going to be the telling point. If they can stay within two touchdowns of Kennesaw State.
You know, that's a good point because I think but I'll just say this to you, Alan. Are you saying this because Kennesaw has a good record right now and they're a top conference, you say? Is that why you're saying that?
No, I'm saying Kennesaw State's good, man. My brother lives down there, so I go down there and visit.
What is good? What is good in Conference USA? Because last week, La Tech and Western Kentucky were good. This week, Western Kentucky goes down, you know, to a team that no one thought that they would lose to. So, in Florida International. So, I think what I'm just trying to say is, I think this league has like five or six good teams, and then a big gap, and then it's all the rest.
Kennesaw State's good. They were good last year. They just had a lot of injuries. You watch this year. You're going to see a good team. You guys, UTEP's going to play a good football team when they play Kennesaw. If they can stay within two touchdowns, then they'll get my attention. You'll see Kennesaw State's definitely going to be the best team in the conference.
I mean, I would like to see that. That would throw some freshness in this down year of Conference USA. So I wouldn't mind that.
Just mark it down. Kennesaw State's the best team in the conference, and you'll see it. If you can stay within two touchdowns, that'll be good.
Okay, I got you down, Alan. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in.
Friend. You guys have a blessed night.
All right, have a blessed night as well. 915-505-6009, that's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Pinky's next with us. Pinky, good evening.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Hey, it's kind of hard to follow a phone call like that when all this guy said is Kansas State's a good team, and if UTEP stays within two touchdowns, respect them. He said that about six or seven times. So to me, you know, why even make a phone call if you're going to just say that or just make it and get off? My call, I'm just kind of, well, why am I listening to this? Why am I listening to this? Why is he calling? Real quick, a victory is a victory. I don't care what it is. And I've been like that for a long, long time as a Miner fan. And I'll take any victory we can get. Yeah, it looked pretty at times tonight, and it looked bad at times tonight. And, of course, we had a couple of breaks. That wide receiver from Uncle Sam couldn't catch nothing when he was wide open. So that was a big break for us. But a couple of things that I just kind of like, when they put Chase Smith in, I thought they were going to give him a little run or option where he can go to the sideline and run to the side, and they just put him over right down the middle. And I couldn't understand that one either. Some of the play calling still. And when Skyler threw that interception, I didn't know why he wanted to throw it back across the field. If I was him, I would have just thrown it out of the end zone, and that was it, and get that down over. But, you know, little things like that you see, you kind of little question. But overall, you know, hey, we're going to take the victory. And I apologize to everybody that's been calling me and texting me and asking me how come I'm not on X. I have no idea why. I have no idea.
Your account was suspended, Pinky. My best recommendation is create a new account. And you have to go back and follow everybody again, but that's the only way. You're like on the outside looking in, my friend, and you've been waiting to hear back from all your Twitter friends. But my best advice is scrap the old account. It's not going to get recovered. Elon, all the claims you've tried to make over there, not going to happen. make a new account, my friend. Maybe that'll happen. Joe Chacon, who, by the way, has chimed in on Twitter and X with us as well, is joining us next on the phone lines. Joe, what's going on, my man?
I'm supposed to be in bed enjoying my nice little slumber before I have to go golfing at 7:30 in the morning.
Hard life.
And, well, we're on break, so do what you do, you know what I'm saying?
Flex on them.
But when Pinky calls in, you have to chime in. And that man right there is number one supporter of UTEP, more than me, by far. And I've tried everything to free Pinky, and we can't free him.
Oh my! If this call is only to talk about Pinky on Twitter, I'm ending this call.
No,
this call right now.
It's not. I'm going to give you a little bit of a geography because I was repping from Houston at one point. Y'all were reading my tweets. So where I lived in North Houston, in Magnolia, it was 45 minutes just to get to Huntsville. Okay? The new stadium that's there from Magnolia for where I was living, if you could get there in 45 minutes, you were flying. It's an hour. Houston is so massive. You might as well have driven to Hatch from here to go to watch UTEP play. If you wanted to watch UTEP play in Hatch, are you going to do it? Like, it's not reasonable.
Rice
was
yeah.
downtown. Like, I live there. Like, and the crowd, well, that's not our problem. Our problem is here. But just the scope, right? Just the scope. That's what I was just trying to give everybody an idea of how big Houston is. The other thing is, what happened with play calling in the second half? When did it change? When did we start using our assets? Could it have been different 4 games ago if we had this offense rolling, right? And could we have seen different outcome? The defense gave us a lot. And yes, it was kind of Jekyll and Hyde tonight with special teams. You have to give props to the punter. Nobody's giving props to the punter tonight. He was smashing and banging, and he was putting it where we needed to. Right?
Right.
So let's give hope. Let's not lose hope. Let's win the last 5, and let's go to the Potato Bowl and win that thing, and we'll all be happy going into next year talking about Joe Golden and his team that's going to be coming up.
There it is. From your mouth to God's ears, Joe Chacon. 5 wins, rip them off. Book your trip right now to the Isleta Amphitheater, the resort and casino. We'll be out there, the New Mexico Bowl, UTEP taking on whatever Mountain West team. Just book the trip now, Joe Chacon says. Not me, not there at all. But appreciate your phone call as always, Joe. You're a very spirited caller. You care so much about UTEP, and I always appreciate you weighing in with us and hanging with us on Minor Talk each and every show. I think you've been joining us on Minor Talk, whether it's not necessarily calling in, but joining us as a listener for years now. So appreciate you big time, Joe. Appreciate you. Let's go to Adrian, who's joining us next. 915-505-6009. Tocayo, what's going on?
Hey, man. I just want to know, after this week's win and after everything that we all went through as Miner fans last week, I mean, with this win that we were all expecting against a no-win team, I mean, the only thing that we beat this team in, if you're looking at the stats, would be 20-plus rushing yards, total offense, I guess. I mean, we beat them also in the turnovers, which was great, 2-1 against Sam Houston. I mean, what –
don't forget about
next?
4-0-4 on fourth downs. Like, that was huge.
Absolutely.
Like, all of them.
Absolutely.
All, you know, Sam Houston rolling the dice 4 different times. I should say 3 times because the fourth one was when this was in garbage time. But really, 3 times in pivotal moments, they rolled the dice and UTEP's defense came up.
And that's a great point as well. And my favorite point of the whole game was the beginning of the game with the CBS guys. I mean, they're talking the whole first quarter about how bad the Sam Houston team is on third down and how good we are at shutting teams down in the
third down conversions, and then these guys go 99 yards. I guess the question is, what's next for us as we go down the season and in these weekday games when people kind of pay attention to us and then we show out for, you know, like people expect a certain kind of brand out of us now and we beat the worst of the worst. But I mean, can we make it through the bottom of the bottom half of the conference and make a name of ourselves going into the Mountain West? And what does this team have to show going forward, especially as a university as a whole? Like, can this football program help the rest of the programs around the school? And, you know, what's just next for us?
Yeah, I would say, okay, rushing all of that, right? You're rushing everything. You're trying to skip from, you know, where they're at right now and get to the finish line. They're going to have to crawl a lot more before they can walk. And when they're walking, we're talking about them winning consistently on a night-to-night basis. So right now they're in the crawling stages, right? They just got their first FBS win. They just got their first win against a conference opponent. It's all in their infancies of all of that. But yeah, on a larger scale, like what a football team could do for a program, I mean, if you're winning consistently at a football program, it's great for your university as a whole because you're set right there, great in a positive way. Like, they're getting national exposure. They're on CBS Sports Network. This is great exposure to be on. I mean, all the families back at home can watch all these games. Like, those are all great things. But Sal, they're far from there yet because they've got to win at a consistent basis. Even when they were winning on a quote-unquote consistent basis, which was not really a consistent basis a couple years ago when Conference USA midweek games first started, those games didn't always come UTEP's way. And when you had those victories, like against Florida International or against Middle Tennessee, like those were tough wins for the Miners at the time, and UTEP's not there yet. Like they're beating a winless Sam Houston team tonight.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, and it's tough, man. We talk about consistency for a team, and I don't even know if we could really talk about that yet. This is one game that they just happened to make less mistakes than the other team, and that's how they were able to come out with the win. I mean, we can look all around this game and say, hey, they do this in the next game. If they do this against Kennesaw State, that's six the other way. If they do this against Kennesaw State, who knows how long it's going to be until they have the ball again while there's another 7 points or so added when they get the ball back. And can they even respond? So that's it's a whole other ballpark yet. They're walking to that park, but I can't say they're in that park yet.
Adrian, I'll give you the final words. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, man, I see Aaron Jones get on the program at CBS before the game. I know, referencing the teams in the Conference USA that we've played this year, like, I mean, I know the city of El Paso is really going to rally around what the teams were going to be able to play next year in the Mountain West. I know it's an exciting time period. You know, it's just frustrating as some of as passionate UTEP fans as you guys are, and we all are here calling into the program. Like, we're excited to see this team succeed. You know, we just hope that for the best of the rest of the season. You know, it's just going to take a lot for the school and the city to rally around what's available and what we can do to be able to be around it. And you know, like, we beat the team in two statistical categories today. I guess a winless program, and I mean, we can take the W as much as we want. We just got to keep pushing forward, especially against a good Kennesaw team going forward.
Stuff. Really appreciate you, Adrian. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your comments here post-game here with us on Miner Talk. 915-505-6009. Winding things down. So if you want to duck in a late call like everybody's been doing, Joe, Pinky, Adrian, Allen, give us a call right now. 915-505-6009 before we wrap up the show. Brian's next with us. Brian, good evening.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It was a good win for the Miners. You know, it's a poverty team, but it is what it is. So, but I will mention one thing about what I'm noticing with the offense and all that. The offense is definitely built around Skylar. That was evident with how Skylar was playing compared to how we've seen Malachi. And it brings me to an example on how the offense is definitely not built around Malachi in any sort of way. It's like if you were to put Matthew Stafford on the Arizona Cardinals, because as you know, Kyler Murray's mobile and a dual threat. So the same kind of system would not work for Stafford, and that's kind of what I'm noticing with the differences between Skylar and Malachi and all that, because Malachi is very pocket passing heavy, while Skylar can move around more and is more flexible in the matter.
Yeah, but maybe overall, we haven't even seen, real quick, Brian, maybe we haven't even seen the best from Malachi, like in a system that works for him. And maybe that just shows you that a specialized offense that works for him is hard to find. Like, other guys are kind of chameleons. They can adapt to different coaches' schemes and stuff like that, or coaches recruit them to their scheme. And for Malachi, just hasn't worked for these last three spots. And I would include UTEP in that mix for the spots. It just hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah, I'd say so, because mainly half of what we've seen with Malachi, especially with the interceptions that I've seen. I know those are mainly bad decisions based on the status of the game, but it happens a lot. And maybe we can build around him in the future, but who's to say that he's going to stay any longer? You never know how this program may go. I'd say the best approach is to stick with Skyler and see what he can do, because he was killing it, and hopefully he can continue to kill it for the Miners going forward.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Domingo, who chimed in not wanting to talk anything about Miner talk, talking about some soccer. El Paso Visuals Deportivos chiming in. This is Skyler's team? Just like that? Each of said quarterbacks have exactly one win under their belts as starters. One was over a D2 school, and for the other quarterback, a win was against a winless Division I team. Call it a wash. Not ready to drink the Skyler Locklear flavor Kool-Aid. If he gets another win, then okay. By the way, I don't care if a coach suits up to play quarterback. I'll take the dub. Always a good day when the Miners can win. All right, there you go. And Augustine chimes in with some creepy selfies, like just scary selfies. Like, I'm going to have
Halloween
some
month,
it's
man.
Halloween. It's spooky season, Sal. So I guess that's what we're getting right there from Augustine. Yeah, I'm just scared. And a lot of tweets and comments from Augustine. But I think the selfie, the dark selfie scared me enough, so I don't want to read anything. David Castro, UTEP finally pulled off a true win this year, but seriously, how do we burn two timeouts in the first six minutes of the game?
Don't even tell me that, dude. Oh, and he was here. We were watching the game at that point, and we did a double take, like, after the first one, like, they really, okay, whatever. And then they call another timeout, and we're like, what the hell is going on? Now,
like,
granted, that second timeout did, you know, it did warrant a stop. So I'll give that. Like, maybe it was a different look that they needed to set up. Whatever the case was, it worked out. But thank God it was just the first half, man. Because can you imagine in the second half, where we know that UTEP wound up, blowing the doors off of this one with about 6 minutes or so left. However, let's say it's the fourth quarter and you need, you're within one, two possessions or one possession, or maybe you're down a possession. Whatever the case is, up or down, you need all the time that you could get. Imagine blowing those timeouts, man. That's terrible. All I could think of is, like, this sets precedence for what's going to happen when the game is on the line. Like, these habits are going to start to build. And
they have. They've costed them in previous losses.
I mean, it could just get worse than that. Like, thank God it was just the first half, and thank God it was just Sam Houston.
Hey, this is coming in as well from David Castro. The small mistakes still occur weekly. Still a win's a win. Okay, good stuff, David Castro. This was coming in, by the way, from UTEP News. And by the way, UTEP News, like, deserves some kind of Twitter, like, award or something like that. He's been on a heater lately. And I've been asking people who are very pro-UTEP, like, hey, what do you think about this guy? Like, this guy is posting all the time, and everybody gives me the same response, Sal, which I can appreciate. They tell me, look, it's hard to not laugh at some of the memes, but, you know, he kind of treads that fine line between some that are really funny and then some that are like, oh man, that's tough. Like today, he says official attendance for Sam Houston versus UTEP, 671, smallest crowd in Sam Houston history. And it's like totally a lie. Like, they had like 4,600 people, which is a lie as well. But I just love how he just baits everybody to chime in on his stuff. That tweet itself is blowing up on social media.
Oh, man. I love it, though. And this is what you wanted. This was the burner bowl, essentially. UTEP versus Sam Houston. Like, going into it, both teams know that the future, you know, after this game might not be too bright, just as it was dark, you know, in that first half. So I mean, man, you couldn't get a more sickos type game this week and a more sickos type Twitter sphere out there. So I loved it, man. All the burners, all the what do they call, like, NBA young boy
spam,
Sammy,
yeah.
You know, minor, whatever the case was, man. You gotta love it. So no, I'm all in on midweek action, man. I'm kind of sad. I think I'm gonna start a petition for UTEP to come back to Conference USA, as I love these Wednesday games.
You know why I love them, Sal? Because we have our weekends. That's why I love them. I love them because we have our weekends for selfish reasons. That's it. Other than that, it messes up the week, messes up the sleep schedule, and as far as fans goes, it messes up attendance and all that, all those kinds of things. So, next up, Miners have Kennesaw State. I've got them losing that one. It's a way too early prediction, but I just don't see the Miners going to Georgia and beating the Owls of Kennesaw State in that matchup. Then the Jacksonville State home matchup, which is November 8th, a Saturday. After that, it's Missouri State on the road, and then New Mexico State at home, and followed by Delaware on the road. You know, you look at these five games, and if you're going outside, like, bird's eye view on all five of them, Miners right now are 2-5. Could you find four wins in that? My answer to that is no. But if you really had to piece and talk yourself into four wins, they're somehow knocking off Kennesaw State, and that propels them moving forward with this win streak. They beat Jacksonville State, and then they lose to Missouri State on the road, but they beat New Mexico State, and then you've got a coin toss of a game on the road at Delaware to try to compete for bowl eligibility. Like, that's the only way you could talk me into that happening. But I just don't see, again, way too many road games for them to actually, for anybody out there to actually believe, right? Like, tonight was kind of a home game in itself, and the Miners took advantage of that. But next week against Kennesaw State, or after the bye week, I should say, against Kennesaw State, I just don't see it happening. Maybe it does. Maybe the Miners hang in there and stuff like that. But I think this UTEP team is maybe a year away. Do they keep the likes of a Skylar Locklear, run it back for his senior year to try to be competitive in that first year of the Mountain West? Do they bring in a new transfer quarterback next year to see what he could do? I don't know. I'm fascinated by that. But I'm also fascinated to see how UTEP can kind of turn a positive note on this season, which has had a lot of negativity, right? Like, these three games that they lost going into this one, the home losses were tough. Four altogether, including the Texas game in a row that the Miners lost. They hadn't led, Sal, since the Tennessee yes. Martin game, and uh-huh. Today they took that early first half lead to take their first lead since that Tennessee Martin game. But any of your final takeaways as we wind up the show and kind of look ahead to this bye week, and then after that, the game against Kennesaw?
Yeah, I really like the way that the defense was able to respond after they were pretty much getting sliced up. I mean, allowing a 99-yard touchdown drive early on in the game kind of, you know, it loomed doom. And we could be honest, Watson going out definitely makes a difference. But you play the game that's in front of you, and you try to do the best that you can. And so far this year, top to bottom, UTEP's defense has been the most consistent out of any type of out of each side of the ball, whether it be offense, special teams, or defense itself. So that's the one thing that they can hang their hat on. They lead Conference USA in numerous stats when it comes to defense. So that's what I take away from it. They were able to rally and be consistent throughout and allow their offense to get the ball back in and score some points. So that's what I really liked. But going into next week, just be fundamentally sound and be ready for the play. Be ready for the changes that may have to be made, because I swear, man, if I see another timeout that doesn't need to be called because they weren't ready, or a timeout that's being used to prevent a penalty because, you know, guys aren't in the right spots, personnel's not being, you know, set up properly, I don't even know, man. I'm going to lose it, because Kennesaw is not going to be doing that. When you go out to Delaware at the end of the year, they're not going to be doing that. You go to Missouri State over there in spring. Is it Springview or Springfield? They're not going to be doing that. And it's their first year in Conference USA. So just do those little things right, man, and you can set yourself up for more success.
Chris with a hot take to close out the show. Let's not sugarcoat it. This wasn't a statement win. This was a pillow fight to avoid being the doormat of Conference USA. Yes, UTEP finally got a win, 35-17 over Sam Houston State. But let's keep it real. This wasn't beating Boise. This wasn't taking down a contender. This was taking down an 0-6 Sam Houston State team. And yet, there we were, Scotty Walden jumping up and down the locker room like we just clinched the Mountain West. The players waving the pickaxe on the sideline like they just struck gold. Look, I get it. The guys need a moment, but they've been going through hell. But you can't build a winning culture on celebrating mediocrity. You don't hang your hat on beating a team that is 13-18 since joining FBS. You hang it on progress, on executing clean drives, on fixing your defense, on not letting another team hang 30-plus on your next week, or trying to actually have an offense against a good team. I love the energy. I love the passion. But UTEP's standard has to be higher than we beat the winless team, because until that's the mindset, we'll keep living for one night of celebration instead of a season of relevance. Because next week, Kennesaw State's rolling in at 4-2, and they actually look like a program on the rise. UTEP doesn't. So yeah, enjoy the win, Miners. You earned the right to smile for a night, but don't mistake escaping the basement for climbing the mountain. Next week will tell us whether that pickaxe is for celebrating or digging in another hole. There you go. That's another one. Good stuff there, Chris, here on InSpill Lens as we continue. The Miners right now are 2-5. They close out this one with the win, 35-17 over Sam Houston. And I think that's going to wind us up here on the program. I appreciate everybody. Oh, man. I appreciate everybody chiming in. I appreciate everybody reaching out to us here throughout our show here on Miner Talk. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate Sal Montes, Zay Galindo, Andy Inestrosa, everybody who joined us back at our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. And then, of course, special thanks to Chris. He's the reason why we are live on Inspo Lens and live on YouTube, of course, and live on Twitter and X. And we'll be back in action another week of Miner Talk. I will take a break after this week. This is the bye week. And then we'll be back in action October 28th for another edition, UTEP taking on Kennesaw State. It's all coming up and it's all on deck to close out this month of October. But for now, we'll wind it up and say thanks for listening to Miner Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso, brought to you by Jack in the Box.